So we're on Yud Zayin Amud Beis. We'll try to get back into things and we'll try to move at a faster pace so we get to the finish line and make a siyum, a gala siyum. So let me just mention for my own sake a quick review that on Yud Zayin Amud Aleph we have a long presentation of Brisa of Rabbi Shimon, which is based on a pasuk in Dvarim Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin, Lo Sucha Lecha B'Sharecha, Masa Degoncha, Siroshcha V'Tzarecha, and basically Rabbi Shimon analyzes this pasuk. The pasuk is talking about Chutz Lechoma, meaning outside of Yerushalayim, and prohibits eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. You have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. And then the Torah adds all these categories of Kodshim. And Rav Shimon says that it can't be that the Torah has to establish an Isur with regard to Kodshim of Chutz Lechoma because it's a Kal Vachomer. If Maiser, which doesn't have any Kedusha, it's not even Osur to Zarim, anyone could eat Maiser, is Osur Chutz Lechoma, then how much more so Kodshim, which is Chomer. But rather, the Torah here is coming to prohibit with a separate lav different isurim in kodshim. To give a few examples, there's going to be an isur lav to eat bikurim before kriyas shem. There's going to be an isur lav to eat todu shlomim before zrika. There's going to be an isur of eating bechar evenly achar zrika. That's for a zar. He's not a kohen. Chatas v'osham to eat it even after zrika b'chutz la zar chutz l'kloim. And finally, karban olah li'achar zrika, even bifnim, even within the azar, because a karban olah has to be kulo kolil, and there's no room for achila. But it comes out that according to Rav Shimon, in all these different cases, based on a Kal Vachomer, you're going to engender an Isur Lav, and you're going to be Mechayev, the violator of that Lav, in Malkus. So if you take a look now on your Zayin Amid Beis, counting up from the bottom, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up from the bottom, the Gemara asks, V'chi Mazhirin Min Hadin, can you use a Kal Vachomer? We're going to get to that in just a second. So first the Gemara is saying, you're using Kal Vachomer to derive a lav. That's called Mazhirim in a din.
And you normally need a specific Azhara in the pasuk for anything. Azhara can't come from a
So the Gemara says, Ha'afil l'man di'omar, and we'll see in Rashi who this man di'omar is. Di'omar onshim min adin, but ain mazhirim min adin. Everyone agrees that ain mazhirim min adin. So let's look at Rashi. Afil l'man di'omar, the second of the wide lines. Dorab Yitzchak, di islay, bi'achoso bas oviv ubas imo. Right, the Torah only prohibits explicitly a bas oviv or a bas imo, but what about a full sister? And Rabbi Yitzchak says, on shimin adin, in this case, based on a Kal Vachomer, how much more so do you punish him with Malkus if he had relations with his full sister? But for Gabi Azhara, but even Rabbi Yitzchak, the Gemara establishes earlier in this perek, requires a Kro Yisera, a pasuk, a yalfusa, to engender a lav, an azhara. In other words, even if onshim min adin, but ein mazhirim min adin. That's the way Rashi interprets. Yeah, the Gemara has an extra pasuk for achosa. Yeah, Rashi here doesn't quote the extra pasuk, but I if I'll remind myself, I'll mention it to you. In any event, Rabbi Yitzchak has a special pasuk to teach. I think it is. Yeah, it's in one of those two. I just don't want to slow us down because, you know, let's try to chaperim whatever we can. So now the Gemara answers a reformulation of Rabbi Shimon. We really misunderstood Rabbi Shimon. And the Gemara answers, Isura bi'alma, that in fact, Rav Shimon never meant to derive an azhara and an onesh, but rather to derive an isur. And if you violate that isur, you don't get malchus because of these principles. Ein masir min adin, ein onshin min adin. So the Gemara is not happy with that. The Omar Rava made a statement, which we're going to analyze at great length on Daf Yud Ches. Zar sha'ochal min ha'ola lifnei zrika chutz l'choma. You know, there's an overlap here of many different violations. For example, no one's allowed to eat an ola, and no one who's not a kohen is allowed to eat kodshim. He's a zar, so that's a double barreled iser. And then it was lifnei zrika. Even the kohenim can't eat before zrika. And it's chutz l'choma, even the kohenim can't eat it chutz l'choma. And Rava says to Rabbi Shimon, in this case, according to Rabbi Shimon, loke chamesh, he will get malchus five times over. And Rashi goes through the five times. Rashi divra maskel zar sha'ochal min ha'ola. We're just going to focus on that part of Rashi that we need, which is the third line in Rashi. What are these five? Chad, number one, mishum chutz l'choma. He ate it outside Yerushalayim, and that's derived from kavachom from Meiser. Chad, mishum lifnei zrika, and that's derived from a kavachom from Toda and Shlomim. Chad, mishum zar gomor afil yachar zrika. The osim kavachom mibachar. The kolshkein lifnei zrika. So we have three. Chad mishum ochel chutz l'kloim. He ate ola outside of the azara. The osim kavachom michatos v'asham. V'chad mishum ochel ola. The afilu kohen ubesocha kloim. You know, it's even after zrika and even in the azara, a kohen is enjoined from eating ola. Kolshkein zar chutz l'kloim chutz l'choma. Alma loke chamesh. So how can you tell me that Reb Shimon was only deriving an isur based on a kalvachomer? In a zisur we could derive from a kalvachomer. We just can't derive a chiv onshin. And Reb Shimon was only referring to onshin. But Rava says that according to Reb Shimon, you get five sets of malchus. So the Gemara answers: even Rava should not be taken literally. What Rava really means is Chamisha Isurim Havu, that there are five Isurim that he violated. And I would add, you know, that maybe Lufiani Estaitiv, maybe what the Gemara has in mind here is Nafkamina Lakovra Ben Rishayim Gemur. In other words, he might ask by the Nafkamina how many Isurim you violated if we're not going to give you Onshim for those Isurim. But the answer is, there are different levels of Rishas. But in the Shvatzim, I think we gave him Malchus, no? In those cases. But you know what I'm thinking of? The Sugin Yevamis of Ein Iser Chal Iser. And the Gemara says that even though Ein Iser Chal Iser, you violate two Isur. And then after meeting, the Gemara says, L'kovro Ben Rishoyim Gemur. Okay. So that's what we have here. So let's say, for example, we mentioned before that according to Reb Shimon, in the case of Bikurim, if you eat Bikurim before Kriyas HaParsha, you violate an Isur. But you won't get Malchus for it. Or for example, in the case of Bechar, if you're a Zar, even after Zrika, then you violate an Isur, no Malchus. If, for example, in the case of Chatos V'Yosham, you eat before Zrika, even a Kohen, you violate the Isur because the Zrika is Matir, but you don't get Malchus. All these are derived from a Kal V'Chomer, and we're going to apply the principle of Ein Onshin Min Adin, Ein Mazirin Min Adin. The Gemara says, wait a minute, this is not going to hold up. V'hanan T'nan, what about the mission itself? Elu Hein Halokim. Right, the name of this parak is, I'm going to list all the violations which incur Malchus. And included in this list are Bikurim before Kriya, and Kodshe Kodshim outside of the Azara. You see the last line in Rashi about Nantran Elu Heinak Lokim Uketani, and amongst that list is Bikurim meaning before Kriya, and also Kodshe Kodshim outside of the Azara. So obviously it's very clear that that you do get Malchus, not the way you interpret it. And then we're back to square one with that question of Ein Masir Min Adin.
You have to join the ship.
I just want to point out another additional problem here is that the pasuk in Dvarim Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Zayin, according to Reb Shimon, teaches me two things. First of all, it teaches me that if you eat outside of Yerushalayim, you get Malkus. I mean, that's a simple, straightforward reading of the Pasuk. Reb Shimon raises the problem, why did the Torah have to tell me that? If Meiser incurs Malkus outside of Yerushalayim, then how much more so Kodshim? And based on that, the Pasuk is now going to teach me, says Reb Shimon, an additional lav.
This is what this asked about being the sugi.
How can one Pasuk serve at two capacities? No. Is that what you mean?
We don't need it for the basic limit of chutz, the chutz to Yerushalayim.
But we do, because Ein Masir Min Adin. In other words, how do I know that if I eat Kodshim outside of Yerushalayim, I get Malkus for that easy?
No, I'm talking about Masir Shem.
For my
sushi.
Yeah, I need the post for my sushi.
You do?
Right, because my sushi has no kodesh to it. It's purely chulin. Anyone can eat my sushi. There's no Issa Zaros, I mean to say. Right. Elo, what the Torah says, you have to bring it to Yerushalayim. That's the kedusha of Ma'aser Sheni. If you violate that Isur, then you get Malkus, and that's what it says, Lo Sucha Lechel V'Sharecha Ma'aser D'Goncha. Now, based on Ma'aser Sheni, says Reb Shimon, I could derive Kodshim outside of the Chom of Yerushalayim. But nevertheless, I still need an Azhara for Chutz Yerushalayim for Kodshim in order to incur a Chiyuv Malkus. Now Reb Shimon introduces a Kal V'Chomer, and he says that not only do you violate one set of Malkus for eating outside Yerushalayim, you violate additional Malkus for Kodem Azara, Kodem Zrika, or outside of the Azara.
You have the words that we link to each one.
So correct.
There are words in the process that we're linking to. That.
Correct. No, you're 100% correct. But at the same time, and that's what this long Tosfos Isur is all about, at the same time, the Pasuk needs that whole long list in order to establish a lav of Chutz L'Choma. Because Ein Mazir Min Adin. So I need that Pasuk in its Pshuto Shel Mikra to engender an Isur lav. In all these cases of Kodshim, Chutz L'Choma. Now Reb Shimon introduces the Kal V'Chomer, and he says, wait a minute, I could logically derive that conclusion about the Isur Chutz L'Choma with the Kal V'Chomer, and therefore I have to have a whole set of gradual Isurim that I'm going to derive with the Chiv Malkus, as if that Pasuk is going to teach me two different Lavim, one for Chutz L'Choma, and one for Chutz L'Klaim, for example, in the case of Kodshim Kodshim. Or Kodim Zrik in the case of Kodshim Kal.
For Chutz L'Klaim and Chutz L'Klaim, there are two H's.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, Chutz L'Klaim is automatically Chutz L'Klaim.
Correct, and yet you're going to violate two different Lavim in the case of Kodshim Kodshim. So again, let's understand. A man eats a karban chatas outside of Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. Reb Shimon says he gets two sets of malkus. One for chutz l'choma, and the other for chutz l'azara, which is called chutz l'klar. And they're all derived from one pasuk. And Eino's and Ein Nisar Min Adin. That's a little bit difficult. That's what this whole Tosfos is about. All right, let's go on now to Yud Ches Amud Aleph. Ella says the Gemara, Kra Yiserahu. This is the final conclusion to justify why, according to Reb Shimon, there will be Malkus for Kodav for Lifnei Zrika or Chutz L'Klaim or Zar that eats Bechar or Bikurim before Kriyas HaParsha. Ella, Kra Yiserahu. Because what we've discussed until now is the Pasuk Yud Zayin in Perek Yud Beis. Now, the Gemara goes back to Pasuk Vav in the same Perek. Like, if you want to look it up in the Chumash.
It's a different Gemara which has on the side.
Right. So if you want to look it up inside the Chumash, you'll see it's very interesting because in Pasuk Vav, in Pasuk Zayin, the Torah says, Vavesem Shama. Aloseichem, Vizivchechem. Dvarim Yud Beis. If you look at Psukim Vav and Zion, it says there, Vavesem Shama. I'm fast forwarding a little. Aloseichem, Vizivchechem. Vies Maisoseichem, Estrumas Yedchem, Vinidrechem, Vinidvoseichem, Ubchoris Pekachem, Vitzonachem. And then it says, in the Pasuk, Vachaltim Sham, Lifnei Hashem, Elokechem. So basically, we already have in Psukim Vav and Zion that everything on this entire list has to be taken lifnei Hashem Elokecha, meaning up to Yerushalayim, and you can't eat it outside of Yerushalayim. Now, if we fast forward to Pasuk Yud Zion, the Torah says Lo Sucha Lechel Bisharecha, and it repeats the entire list on the Lo Sucha. So the Gemara says, okay, now take a look at the Gemara on the third line. Lichtov Rachmana Lo Sucha Li Ochlam. Why didn't the Torah just give us a general lav? It's already delineated every single case. There's no need to repeat every single case. You want to add a lav, just give me a general lav. Lo sucha li ochlam. Why did the Torah meheder mefarish burachmano? Lovely. Why did the Torah feel compelled in the lo sucha of the lav to go through every single case individually? You've got Bechar on the list, and you got Todu Shlomim, and then you're going to have Chatas V'yosham, and then you're going to have Ola. Why do you have to go through the whole bit of kit and caboodle? The answer is the Torah in the Pasuk Lo Suchal is in effect writing out a lav for each one of the cases that's mentioned in the Pasuk. And therefore it's as if there's a separate lav, not just for Chutz L'choma, which is the simple pshat in the Pasuk, but also for the additional Isurim. For example, Bikurim before Kriya, or in all the Karbonis before Zrika Saddam. Now Rashi hints at a question. If you take a look at Rashi, on line 4, Aaron, maybe you could sit here. So Rashi says, V'lav shebechlolos lo havi. We have a rule that if you derive many lavim, many surim from one lav in the Torah, you don't get malchus in such a case. That's called the lav shebechlolos. And in lav shebechlolos, let's give an example. Rashi says, lo sochel kim tzli eish. Or for example, mikol asher yasim yigefen ayayin. So Rashi says, lo sucha li ochlam, had it been written in that way, there would be no malchus. Right? The Gemara is asking Akasha, why didn't the Torah just say lo sucha li ochlam in a general sense? Rashi says it would be a lav shebechlolos.
So lo sucha lechol in the singular gets away from it.
Correct. So Rashi answers no. Kevan de akula koi havi lav b'chol chad v'chad. It's not a lav shebechlolos because lo sucha li ochlam is going back to the original formulation in Pasuk Vav, where the Torah does enumerate each one specifically. And therefore it's not a lav shebechlolos. Tosis, in this long, long, gigantic mammoth, Tosis, he disagrees with Rashi. He thinks it's not a lav shebechlolos because it's all one shem. Okay, shem echad. Well, you have to know exactly what that means.
That sounds like a lav shebechlolos to me.
Yeah.
If you're here, maybe you want to do this on Tosis. I was a bit scared.
He's going to teach it to us. So the final maskana here is Elali Yichude Lavi L'chol Chad V'chad. There's a separate lav for each one of these Isurim. Now, again, if you eat Bikurim before Kriya, you get Malkus. If you're a Zar and you eat a Bechar, even after Zrika, you get Malkus. The question is, what if you eat Todu Shlomim before Zrika? Or if you eat Chatas V'yosham Chutz L'Klaim, or if you eat Chutz L'Klaim meaning even after Zrika, or if you eat Ola even after Zrika inside the Klaim, in the Azara, do you get Malkus in those cases? So for some reason, which I don't understand, Rashi makes the following distinction. I'm just telling you, if you want to rack your brains on it and go through this entire long Tosis, you'll figure it out. Rashi says in the case of Bikurim, if you eat Bikurim before Kriya, you get Malkus. If you eat Kodshim before Zrika, you get Malkus. But all the others, which are derived from a Kal V'chomer, in which it's after Zrika, but it's Chutz L'Klaim, or it's the case of Zar and Bechar, or if it's Ola even within the Klaim, even after Zrika, in all those cases, it's Kal V'chomer, and you don't get Malkus. So Rashi, for some reason, has to justify this bifurcation.
because that's how we learn each subsequent part of that pasuk.
Right, but again, logically, since it says that Mahadim Afarish Lu Rachmana Kol Chad V'Chad, so Lechora, that's enough to justify Malkus for each one of these Lav. So I don't know why Rashi makes that decision.
You could say, well, we don't need the Kav V'Chad, you go Afarish from the pasuk. Either you could have the Kav
V'Chad. Well, no, you need the Kav V'Chad because the pasuk is only talking about Chutz Lechoma. Right? So how do you know within the Choma but before Zrika? So for that I need the Kal V'Chomer, one by one. But why should Rashi make the distinction that some Isurim will generate Malkus and others will not generate Malkus? What's this split down the middle? That I don't understand. I spent a good bit of time on that. But alright, but both say now we start with Gufa. Okay, Gufa. So we're now on line 6, I think, correct? On Daf Yud Ches. And now the Gemara swings back to analyze Rava. Omar Rava, Zar Sha'ocha Min Ola Lifnei Zrika Chutz L'Chomel Rabbi Shimon Loka Chamesh. There are 5 different Lavim. Let's go over them. Number 1, he ate Kodshim Chutz L'Choma. Number 2, he ate Kodshim Chutz L'Kloyim. In the case of Kodshim, he ate before Zrika Saddam. And he ate Ola, and he's a Zar She'ochel Kodesh. Those are the 5. Rashi summarizes them very beautifully. In fact, the Gemara, let's add another Lav and another set of Malkus. Vililke Nami, why do you stop at 5? And now we're going to turn to the parasha of Miluim at the end of Sefer Shmos. And there, if you recall, in addition to the Karbon Chatos, there were 2 Elim. One aisle was a carbon ola, and the other aisle, which was called the El Miluim, that had the status of shlamim, although it was a complicated shlamim because it had to be eaten in the Azara, which is that violates the law of shlamim. But whatever it is, that's the El Miluim. The word Miluim means to completion.
And
the
1 day as opposed to the month.
Well, there was 7 days. The last 7 days in the month of Adar, right before Hakamas HaMishkan, and the consecration of the Mishkan was on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and the word Miluim means to complete the Kedushas HaKohen. And that's a complicated thing how it works. Through Chinuch means they got used to the work and in the Avod and the Mikdash, and that was good. So in any event, let's focus now for a moment on the Isur with regard to an aisle. And again, I'm talking about that aisle which is eaten by the Kohanim, not the aisle that's brought as a carbon ola, but rather the aisle that's brought as a carbon shlomim. And the Torah there says, at the end of Shmos, it says, V'ochlu osam asher kupar bahem, which means the Kohanim should eat the carbon. I mean, the carbon is divided into different parts. Part was eaten by Moshe, part was brought as the murim on the Mizbech, and part was eaten by the Kohanim. And then the Pasuk says, Vizar lo yochal ki kodeshen. And anyone who's not a Kohen is not allowed to eat from this El Hamiluim. So the Gemara says, since it says Zar lo yochal ki kodeshen, which implies that Zarus is not allowed to eat of Kodeshim, let's derive from this Pasuk in the El Hamiluim an additional Lahav, an additional Chi of Malkus, for a Zar who eats Kodeshim.
Besides the fact that he's already eating an ola.
Correct. He's eating an ola, and he gets Malkus for eating an ola. He's eating a chutz l'klam, he gets Malkus chutz l'klam. He's eating a chutz l'chom, he gets Malkus chutz l'chom. Let's slap down another chi of Malkus, because the pasuk called Zar is Zar lo yochal ki kodeshem, which is formulated.
It's included in the kodeshem. It's a bit like I said before, if you eat chutz l'shlaim, even though it comes to eating chutz l'klam.
But it's a separate law. If it's a separate law, it's a separate Malkus.
This is the Chamesh?
This would be 6.
Should be number 6.
And this is going to be a continuous repetition sugya where the Gemara is going to quote psukim here, there, and elsewhere to beef up the number of Malkus that he should be chayav. Mm-hmm. And why then did Rava stop at the number 5? That's Gemara's
case. 5 sets of 40.
Of Malkus, yeah, 5 times 40, right. So the Gemara derives from this pasuk, the Isra Achila Zorim in Kodshim Kodshim. Now again, I'm avoiding the question of what the status of El Hamiluim is, whether it's Kodshim Kalim or Kodshim Kodshim, because I said the El Hamiluim is an oxymoron of sorts. In many ways, it's shlamim. For example, you eat chas v'shok, which doesn't apply. And on the other hand, it has to be eaten the Pesach Hol Moed, and that's a dinu kachin kachin. But whatever it is, the Torah is clearly prohibiting the case of, let's say, chatas v'yasham or olah, so far as those are kachin kachin per zar. And therefore, we have another set of malchus to add. So the Gemara answer is no. Hani mili, when do you derive a lav from this pasuk? That's only hechadulikonim chazi. The Torah is saying that the bnei Aaron Akonim should eat this el hamiluim, and then the Torah says v'zar lo yochal ki kodeshem. Okay, because the beginning of the pasuk, you remember the beginning of the pasuk over there in el hamiluim, it says v'ochlu osa mashar kupa b'hem. So the kohenim are eating, and therefore is zar lo yochal. Since it's designated for the kohen, that excludes the zar. However, v'alhocha, here we're talking about what? What did, in Rav's case, what did he eat? Ola. Could the kohenim have eaten the ola?
No.
Is the kohenim nami lo chazi? Even kohenim are enjoined from eating an ola. An ola is kula kolil. So in that sense, the pasuk in El Amilum is not relevant to have discussion. The pasuk in El Amilum is only saying that the zar is not allowed to rob the meat of the kachim from the mouth of the kohen, so to speak. The kohenim have the right, and the zar is excluded. But if you have a case where not only the zar is excluded, but even the kohenim excluded, i.e. the case of korban olah, that's not included under this law. And therefore, we're back to the number 5. Now the Gemara asks for lilke nami mishum ubasar basada trefa lo tochelu. Okay. Now this, which is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim, is usually understood by us to refer to what we call a trefa, and that's kind of non-kosher situation. But the Gemara in Zvachim says that there's an extra word in this pasuk. One extra word is going to teach you worlds, literally worlds. Because it could have said, Ubasar trefa lo sochelu. Why did the Torah add the word basada? And the Gemara has an equation between basar and sada. What is sada trying to indicate? Sada is something that's absolutely open. It's an open field. It has no mechitzos. And so too, any basar that goes out of its mechitza, kevan sheyatza basar chutz milchitzaso nesar. It's completely usur. Okay, now there are many, many different cases of basar chutz milchitzaso. Let's just mention a few of them. Okay, let's say for example, kachi kachim, which means chatos ashim and ola, they have to be in the azara. Once they leave the azara, it comes under this lav of basar besad of a treifa lo sochel.
It's got some sort of treifa designation.
Correct. Of course, it's chutz l'mechitza.
If you bring it back in.
Even if you bring it back, well, you are correct, but not for the right reasons. Okay. What I mean to say is, even if you bring it back in, you're not allowed to eat it. That's because of the psul yotze, which we're going to get to later. But no, we're talking about a case where you eat it outside the mechitza. Okay, so you ate the kachim kachim outside of the azar. Kachim kalim outside of Yerushalayim. Okay? Now, a person eats a korban ola outside of Yerushalayim, he also violates this lav of basar v'sada trefa lo sochelu. What do you say?
No, I was saying this should be number 6.
So this should be number 6, because when he eats the korban ola out of lechoma, he violates the isur basar v'sada trefa lo sochelu, because the mechitza of an ola is the azara, the klayim. Now, Rabosai, once again, we have to raise the issue of lav shebichlolos. Basar v'sada trefa lo sochelu should be a classical case of a lav shebichlolos, because there's so many different violations that are derived from this very same pasuk. And yet the Gemara wants to use this pasuk in order to engender a chiv malchus, but there's no malchus for a lav shebichlolos. And here's where Tosus again insists that it's all considered shame echad. Even though there are so many different variations of this violation, chutz to this and chutz to that, and treif itself, which is chutz l'mechitzaso, because there's a mechitz of shechita, and many, many other cases. Nevertheless, since it all has one shame of chutz l'mechitzaso, it's not called a lav Shebechlolos. Now that's a sugya unto itself. Now, the Gemara gives the following answer. Hani mili, when do you apply the rule of basar basar de trefa lo so chelu of chutz limechit sasa, that's hecha de bifnim chazi. There was a mechitza within which it could be royal achila. There was a heter achila. And the Torah says if it leaves that mechitza, for example, let's say the case of kodshe kodshim. Kodshe kodshim left the azara. Had it remained in the azara, you could eat it. Or kodshim kalim left the choma of Yerushalayim. Had it been within Yerushalayim, you could eat it. However, in the case of Ola, Ola has no mechitza of heter. Therefore, it doesn't come under this isur of basar basar de trefa lo sochel. Now the Gemara asks, Vililke nami, kid Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer has a different pasuk, also at the end of Sefer Shmos, which engenders Malkus. The Omer Rabbi Eliezer, what does Rabbi Eliezer maintain? And here I'm going to read the whole pasuk to you. You may see it in the Torah or Hasholem. It says there, V'imi vaser mipsara miluim u'min alechem ad haboker v'saraftas hanosar ba'esh lo yochal ki kodeshu. In other words, there's something called a psul nosar. And we've discussed this in the past, that the Torah has a specific allotted time for eating. Different karbanos have different allotted times. And if you go beyond that allotment of time, it becomes nosar. And the Torah says, lo yochal, you're not allowed to eat nosar. Says Rabbi Eliezer, that this pasuk of lo yochal ki kodesh tells you that anything that's pasul, lav dafka nosar, since the Torah added, why did the Torah have to add those words ki kodesh? He interprets that ki kodesh means it was kodesh and it became pasul. Anything that was kodesh and became pasul is included in this lav at the end of Sefer Shmos. So therefore the Gemara says, and here we go on to Yudches Amid Beis, kol sheba kodesh pasul, this is Rabbi Eliezer, is ba kosev lite losaseh al achiloso. Anything that was kodesh and it became pasul, and the Gemara thinks that ola, again, where is he eating the ola? In Rava's five sets of Malkus case, outside of Yerushalayim, that's called a psul yotze. And a psul yotze therefore should put the ola outside of Yerushalayim back into this lav of Rabbi Eliezer of lo yochal ki kodesh. That's the Gemara's cash. So the Gemara gives a similar kind of answer to the ones that we've seen consistently. Hani mili, when do we apply this lav of something that became possible? Hecha de kolim pisuli chaza. Had it not been possible, you would be allowed to eat it. Hacha de kolim pisuli nami lo chazi. And ola was never kosher lachil. It was never mutter lachil to begin with, and therefore it's not included. In other words, the psul kodesh has to be mechadish and isur. If the isur precedes the psul, it's not included under the lav of lo yochal ki kodesh. So Rav Osei, just to summarize everything we've been seeing here, and the way the Gemara shoots down all these caches to maintain the number five and not beyond, what the Gemara is saying paradoxically, that ola, because of its unique status, that it was never mutter lezarim, it was never mutter outside this place, it was, you never had a possibility of eating it at all. Paradoxically, the chumra of ola engenders a certain protection against various possible lavim that would apply elsewhere. The Gemara is still not finished. Vililke nami kide idach. The Rabbi Eliezer is another statement of the same Tana. It has nothing to do with the first statement. The Sanya we learned in the Braiser Rabbi Eliezer Omer. This is a reference to Minchas Kohen, which is at the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The Pasuk there calls Minchas Kohen Kolil. The word Kolil. It says in the Pasuk we call Minchas Kohen Kolil Tia Lo Se Ochel. You're not allowed to eat the Minchas Kohen. It means the Minchas Kohen, as opposed to other Minachos, is completely burnt on the Mizbeach. And Rabbi Eliezer derives from the extra words, Kolil Tia, Kol Shehu Bekolil Tia. Litein losa salachiloso. We don't limit this lav to the case of Minchas Kohen, but rather we extend it to include anything that is kolil. What does kolil mean?
Completely
burnt on the Mizbeach. Is memela an ola, since it's completely kolil, would therefore be included under this Iser. Correct? Now, another example that the Mefarshim give is Imurim. You know, there's certain parts of the carbon which have to be burnt on the Mizbeach. And that's true for every carbon, in the case of all of the entire carbon. But in every other carbon, there's something called Imurim. And there's a mitzvah haktara say Imurim al gavi Mizbeach. That's also kolil. Imurim are also included in this law. That's the Chiddush of Rabbi Eliezer, because Torah says kolil. What?
Like the batch stuff, those are considered burnt?
Whatever it is, you know, it might be, it might not be. So Gemara says, Einochinam. Oh. The Gemara finally concludes that we really have to jack up the number, and five is not sufficient. The Rava, why does Rava use the number five and only five? Mehai Krokomar. How are you, gentlemen? What Rava meant to say is that this pasuk, Lo Sucha Lecho Bisharecha, which is in Dvarim, Parshas Rei, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Yud Zayin, right? That pasuk only engenders five different malchus. So the Mefarshim here all say that now that we have this secret revealed, then all the other kashas fall off. Because all the Gemara's objections were from different psukim other than this pasuk, Lo Sucha Lecho Bisharecha. And now Rava was only making a comment about one specific pasuk. So that's what he says here on the bottom, in the name of the Mishmeres Kahuna, HaGemara Chozeres Bala Maskotim Yimasha Omra SheYisurim Atliyim B'kach SheYiyeh Roy L'Achilu L'Komen. Wow. This is a mind-boggling chiddush in Mishmeres Kahuna. He's saying that in all those Yisurim that the Gemara objected to, there would be a violation and you'd get Malkus for those Yisurim. Rava is only mentioning a theoretical point that from one prosecutor could only get five Malkus.
Rava didn't say that.
No, I'm just saying that. Correct. But I'm just saying, if the Gemara says Rava Mihai Krokom, because otherwise we're stuck with this drasha of Kolil Tiyah, so now you'd get six Malkus, but Mishmeres Kahuna says you get a lot more than six Malkus, because you're going to get Malkus for the Pasuk of Lo Yochal Ki Kodeshu, and you'll get Malkus for the Pasuk Basar Basar the Trefa Lo Sochelu, and you get Malkus for Lo Yochal Zar Lo Yochal Ki Kodeshu. All the other Lavin, in fact, engender Malkus. You get about nine sets of Malkus here. Because Rava's point was only that this pasuk engenders five malchus, but in truth you have other psukim and other lavim. So basically, if you know a zar, right, if you know any zarim, tell them to be careful about eating an ola outside of Yerushalayim. It's not a very comfortable situation. Again, you're going to have edim who are total talmidei chachamim atzumim to give him nine different azharas for nine different isurim that he's violating with one action.
That's kind of one less, I don't know.
You remember the Gemara in Beitza that talks about a person who cooks meat and milk on Yontif, and the meat is Gira Noshe, and he eats it and he gets five sets of Malkus. You know, the Gemara, for some reason, it's a style in the methodology of Shas, the Gemara gets a great pleasure. It's like a lovelisher thing to see if one action could engender as many Malkus as you could dream of. I don't know if physically a person can take all these malchus. Maybe they should space it out. But that's going to be a sugya later on, like omdim v'malchus. That's Amrav Gidol Amrav Kohen Sha'ochal Michatos V'yoshem Lifnei Zrika Loke. Now, if you go with Reb Shimon that we've been learning all along, then that's pretty straightforward, because Reb Shimon, in the case of Chatos V'yoshem, would derive this from the pasuk Lo Suchal Lechol Bisharecha, and therefore you'd get Malchus. But now we're on a different page here. We're not accepting Rav Shimon, but rather we're going with Rav Gidol Amarav, and Rav Gidol Amarav has a different pasuk. And what is this pasuk? The pasuk says, this is in Shmos Chavtes, Yomar Krav Yachlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem. You remember this pasuk? We discussed it earlier. And what does he derive from this pasuk? Li'achar kapora in. What does kapora mean here in this case? A synonymous from zrika. Li'achar zrika in. Lifnei kapora, before zrika, lo. And that means that you get malchus. But Rabosa, isn't there something strange here? Every malchus requires a losasa, correct? The Torah is made up of two different categories. Esim, positive commands, and losasas. What do you see in this pasuk? You see a losasa? That's only an essay.
I remember seeing it earlier this evening, an essay. And I assume you'll be good at that.
So the Gemara says, according to this sheet of Rav Gidol Merav, lav habo mechal esei lavu. Pella, this is a tremendous chiddush. We've never seen this before. That if you derive a losasa from an essay, it has the same status as a lav. Enough community get malchus. We never found that you get malchus from an essay. And Rava doesn't tolerate this. Masiv Rava, how could that be? And based on a sifra, he says the following: the Torah in Parshas Reis has kol behema mafresas Parshas Ashesa shtei prosos malas geira ba behema osa socheilu. Meaning, if it has these two simoni kashrus, then and only then you could eat it. Osa socheilu, says the sifra, v'ein behema acheres tocheilu. But if you have other animals that don't have these two simonim, you're not allowed to eat them. The e kidka amrit, and if you're going to maintain that lav haba mechal essay is a lav, so then why do I need the next pasuk, which says etze lo sochlu, and it gives a whole list: as agomol, as arneves, as shafan.
Same on the essay.
Yeah, why not just give me the essay? Now, it could be possible that the Torah wanted to add a lav to a lav. There are many cases where the Torah says lav or olav lishnei lavim. And that's what's going to bother the Rishonim and the Ritva and others. And the answer that they offer is that if you look into the Sifra says the following: Osa sochelu, osa bachila v'ein behemot mea bachila, eili ela bi esei belosa seminayin talmud lomar. Hagamol, etc., etc., lo socheilu. It's crystal clear in the Sifra that from the first pasuk we cannot derive a lav. We can only derive an essay. Meaning, lav abo mechal essay is an essay, it's not a lo sasa. That's what bothers the Gemara over here. If not for the language of the Sifra, we could have logically postulated that there are two lavim for the same aveir. If you eat a non kosher animal, not only do you violate the lo socheilu, you also violate the pasuk that says osa socheilu. Eli Yitmar. So now the Gemara completely revamps Rav Gidol Amarav. What we thought was Rav Gidol Amarav, forget about it. Throw it overboard. Hachi Yitmar. Omar Rav Gidol Amarav, Zar She'ochal Michatos V'osham Lifnei Zrika Potur. If a Zar eats from Kachin Kachin before Zrika, he's potter. Why is that? My timer. The Omar Kravi Achlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem. And in the next part of the pasuk it says Zar Lo Yochal. So the first part of the pasuk is addressing whom? What it means Asher Kupar Bahem. Who are these people who Viachlu Osam Asher Kupar Bahem? Those are the Kohanim. So call Hecha the Karinin Baby Achlo Samasher Kupa Behem. That means when we're talking about the Kohanim who eat the Kodshim after Zrika, Asher Kupa Behem after Zrika, is then Karinin Bay Vizar Lo Yochal Kodesh. And then the Zar who eats it will violate a lav. Why? Because the Kohen is commanded to eat this basar. If the Zar eats the basar, he violates the lav. But kol hecha to lo karinan bay v'ochlu osam asher kupar bahem. Meaning, if it's before Zrika, is lo karinan bay v'zar lo yochal. There's no iser lav for a Zar. So it's very interesting, because the Kohen has a mitzvah lachar zrika v'achila, therefore the Zar is enjoined from eating it. But before zrika, when the Kohen himself is considered is not allowed to eat it, then the Zar is not prohibited in this law.
Obviously we can't use the kavachom.
And we can't use the kavachom, right. Okay. Now Rabosai, we start the sugya of Bikurim. You have the place? It's parallel to the Tosus Divya Maskel Uman.
That one wasn't an Essa?
Say it again, one more time.
We're coming to exclude the Zar because we're saying the Kohen must eat it.
Right.
So it's not like a...
And that's got to be after Zrika.
It's alive in the Prophet. It says Zar the
Okay. Now, keep in mind that the mitzvah of Bikurim has two parts to it. One is to bring the Bikurim onto the Mizbeach, that's called Hanocha, and the other is to read the Parsha of Aramei Oved Ovi, the Kriyas HaParsha. Okay, so the discussion now that's going to ensue in the Gemara is what happens if a person eats the Bikurim before the Parsha of Aramei Oved Ovi was read. Does he get Malkus in such a case? And here we're going to see a machlokus between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. I'm sorry, between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva on the one hand and Chachamim on the other hand. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva maintain that there's an Isur Lav and a Chiyuv Malkus if you eat the Bikurim before Kriyas HaParsha. And the Chachamim say no. The Kriyas HaParsha is a nice mitzvah, but all you need is Hanocha. That's called Hanocha Makevis.
This is the Kohen.
No, this has nothing to do. Yeah. You're right. Let's assume it's the Kohen.
The one liable to get Malkus if he doesn't do it in time.
Right. If he eats the Bikurim prematurely, then he violates this law and he gets Malkus. What do you say?
Only
Kohen can eat Bikurim. Yeah, Bikurim has the same thing as Truma. If a non-Kohen eats Bikurim, he incurs a Chiv Misa Bidei Shamayim, like eating Truma. But now we're talking about a Kohen, and he's going to incur a Chiv Malkus because of the possible Sucha Lechel B'Sharecha. And the question is, what happens if the Hanocha was done already, but the Kriyas HaParsha wasn't done? And that's where the Mishnah records, back on Daf Yud Zayin Machlokas between two sets of Tanoim, Rav Shimon and Rav Akiva are of the opinion that he's Chayv Malkus, the Kohen, for eating it then, because what's called Kriya Makeves. The Chacham says, no, Hanocha Makeves, v'ein Kriyas HaParsha Makeves, and therefore you don't get Malkus.
The Kriya is done by the owner or by the Kohen?
The Bailin have a chayv in the mitzvah of Kriya, but the Kohen is enjoined from eating the Bikurim until after the Kriya.
But doesn't the Kriya takes place while they're in the Azara?
Correct. While they're in the Azara, two things happen in the Azara.
The Kohen takes it up,
and then the Kohen eats the Bikurim.
So how could it be
like Truma?
So how could he eat it beforehand? Like it's like location wise. I'm trying to like understand it.
I mean, who's holding on to it? Yeah. Is that me? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, like
it was placed on the Mizbeach, like any kutchen.
Okay.
Now the Kohen digs into it, and we have to slap his fingers and say, wait a minute, the Kriya wasn't done yet, until the Bailam do the Kriya.
They're not near each other when they're doing the...
Well, they are near each other because of the mitzvah of Tnufa. Because before the Hanoch HaGav Mizbech, there's something called Tnufa, which the Kohen puts his hand under the hand of the Israel, the Baal HaBikurim, and they wave it in all the different directions.
And the Yisrael comes into the actual Azara and the Mizbeach.
Ah, that's an interesting question.
I'm trying to understand how do they signal each other that, like, I'm done reading, you can now, like...
Because they're together at that point. Now, I don't know, Daniel, is there an Isur for a Zar to go into the Azara if he's doing it for the sake of a mitzvah? I don't know that there is such a thing, but again, that could be... Okay, so we're talking about a tar, and he's coming into the Azor for the purpose of bringing his Bikurim on the Mizbeach, and being Mekayim three things. Number one, Hanocha. Number two, Kriya. And number three, Tnufa.
Yeah.
In Tnufa, he participates with the Kohen. It's a joint effort. But Kriya Eino Makeves Bahen. In other words, Rav Hoshea is reflecting the Shita of the Chachamim in our Mishnah that the Hanach is absolutely required, and therefore before the Hanach and the Azara, the Kohen is not allowed to eat the Bikurim, but once the Hanacha in the Azara was done, that's enough to be Matir, the Bikurim Lachilas Kohen, even before the Kriyas HaParsha of Haramid Ovid Ovid. Again, Rabosai, Lechatchila, for sure there has to be Kriya. But we're talking about a case in which he jumped the gun, the Kohen, and before the Kriya he ate the Bikurim, and the question is whether he gets Malkus for that, and the answer is no, because Kriya ain't a Makepus. So the Gemara objects, Umi Amar Rabbi Lazar Hachi. We have a different tradition of Rabbi Lazar, the name of Rav Hoshea. V'amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Rav Hoshea, Hifrish Bikurim Kodim Lechag. He was Mafrish his Bikurim before Sukkos. And the condition here is that he bring the Bikurim before the Chag. Okay, now if he brings the Bikurim before the Chag, then they can fulfill the mitzvah Bikurim hook, line, and sinker. You know, the full super, you know, how do they say, the entire package deal with Kriya as well. But now, unfortunately, they delayed the Avralem Achag. They didn't bring the Bikurim to the Azara until after Sukkos. And therefore, there's no longer a possibility of fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya. And we're going to have to figure out why Kriya depends upon Chag HaSukkos, because the Torah speaks about Simcha, and after Sukkos there's no Simcha. But that we'll get to later on. Let's not jump the gun. Let's go step by step.
The other boss came and the refugees go home again.
This is the whole thing.
Okay, Rabosi, you're asking 1,001 questions. Let's just, you know, again, we're doing this just at that level. Again, what happened? What happened was the Bikurim now became disqualified for what mitzvah? Kriyas HaParsha. And what does Rav Hoshea say in such case? Yei Rakvu. We have to let these fruits, these grains, and some, or fruits also, right? Bikurim is also on fruits. We have to let them completely spoil. How do you say Yirokfu in English?
To rot.
Let them rot. Okay. Okay, you have to basically chuck them in the rubbish, as they would say, I think, in England, right? Now, wait a minute. Why is that so? Just because you can't do the mitzvah of Kriya? So what? My lab mishim de lomotzi lemikri aleim? Because after Sukkot, it's no longer the days of Simcha, there's no possibility of Kriya. Isalke daitri, if you're telling me in the name of Rav Hoshea, Kriya ein makeves bahen, is a mayi rakfu. You're telling me that Kriya is not absolutely indispensable, so why don't you bring the Bikurim into the Azara, place them on the Mizbeach, and fulfill the mitzvah? Why do you have to let them spoil? So here we have a stira between two statements of Rav Hoshea. So what did Rav Hoshea say? But both say the next Gemara to answer this question is one of the most famous Gemaras in Shas. Now I'm going to say it the way I understand it. This Gavran is Hefta. The Hefta, start the other way around. The Hechsher HaMitzvah is not dependent upon the Kiyum HaGavra, but the Cheft itself has to lend itself to the Kiyum HaGavra. I'll give you a classical example. In Matzah, the Gemara says, Bola Matzah Yotza. And what was the Hava mean? Because you didn't taste the Matzah when you just chuck it into your down your throat. But the Gemara says that even though Bola Matzah Yotza, which means Te'ima Samatzah, is not an indispensable requirement, the Gemara says a Matzah Mevusheles, so if you take a piece of Matzah, and you cook it in hot water, you boil it, is then, if you eat the matzah, you're not yotze. Why? Because there's no te'ima. So who cares if there's no te'ima? You just finished telling me the bowl of matzah yotze. I don't need te'ima. The answer is the gavra doesn't need te'ima. But the cheft has to be royal in te'ima. And once you cook the matzah, it becomes mufka from te'ima. Now this principle is derived from Menachos. And that's going to be the principle of Rabbi Zera. So let's see how Rabbi Zera formulates. Kid Rabbi Zera. Ti Omer Rabbi Zera. Kol haroi lebila. A person has to bring for a mincha what's called an isaron soles and a lug shemen. And it has to be roi lolush osam, that you can take the soles and you can knead it with a K, right? Knead it together with the oil. And that's called blila. And Rav Zera says that if it's roi lebila, ein bila makevespo. Now, what does it mean roi lebila? You see, if you put a certain volume, a limited volume of soles into a kli, then you have still space in the kli to add the shemen and do the blila. But supposing I fill the entire kli up all the way to the top with my soles, then it's ein roi lebila. So what we advocate in such a case is that you split it into two kalim and it doesn't take the entire volume of the kli. But he didn't do that. What did he do? He filled up the kli all the way to the top with the soles. Is eino roi lebila. He put in such a kamus of soles into the kli that it's no longer roi lebila, is blila makevespa. Once again, the maisa bila is a kiyum gavra, but the cheft has to be roi to the kiyum gavra. If the cheft is roi to the kiyum gavra, is the kiyum gavra, the maisa gavra is not indispensable. We could do without it. It's a very nice cherry on the top, you know, very nice luxury addition, but it's not indispensable. But the chefta has to be omed lebila. Has to be roi for the full-fledged, full-blessed kiyum of the gavra. If we apply this in the case of bikurim, the kriya itself of the parasha is the kiyum agavra. But the cheft of the bikurim has to be roi to the kiyum agavra. So if you ask me, is kriya makeves? The answer is no. But kriya is makeves in the shem cheftza. The bikurim have to be royal kriya. When you left the bikurim over the boundary line, past sukkahs, now you're mafkia the possibility of a kiyum of, I was about to say blila, of kriya. In such a case, is kriya makevespo. The cheftza, because it, by its very essence, is mufka from kriya saparsha, therefore, it's completely possible. And that's called blila ma'akevespa.
And Rav Zera was a brisk.
And really, this is mamish brisk. If you ask me to teach brisk and show the antecedents of brisk in Shas, this is the sugya that I would point you to. He says here on the bottom, Shiru Chazal Sheshishim Esronim Soles Yecholim Lihibolel BeYofeh BeKli Echad. The maximum amount of solace that you could place, volume of solace that you could place into a kli, excuse me, and still be royal of lila is shishim. That's the magic number. Shishim esronim. This is a gigantic karban mincha. Shishim esronim. Usually you only need an isaron. He's got shishim esronim. And now what did he do? He went beyond the number 60. Then it's not roi for blila. And if it's not roi leblila, then it's likuva, and the mincha is a mincha psula. So you don't need the blila mamish, but you need the possibility of blila. It's like the matzah, that once you cook it, there's no possibility of te'ima, and that's mafkia, the shem heksha hacheftza. Now the Gemara brings a statement of Rabbi Acha Bar Yaakov. Masnile Kidrav Asi Omar Rabbi Yochanan. So he brings down a tradition of Rav Asi. Rav Asi was one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan, the name of his Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan. And what happens over here? We're talking about Kriya Eino Makeves. So Rav Asi quotes Rabbi Yochanan saying that kriya ainu makeves, only anoch is makeves in bikur. V'kasha leila Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi Yochanan. And now we have a stira in Rabbi Yochanan, because umiyam Rabbi Yochanan bikurim anoch makeves and kriya ainu makeves ben for boy mine Rav Asi. Rav Asi presented a suffix to his Rebbe Rabbi Yochanan, bikurim e'masai mutarim l'kohanim. At what moment in time is the Kohen allowed to eat the Bikurim? The Amar Le, and Rav Yochanan's response was Ru'uyim Lekriya Mishakar Aleim. Now, it's if we're talking from Shavuos up till Sukkos, where you're allowed to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya, then is the Kohanim are only allowed to eat the Bikurim after the mitzvah is complete, namely after the Kriya. But She'enam Ruyim LeKriya, let's say he brings the Bikurim after Sukkos, and he's allowed to do that up till Chanukah, is then, at what point is the Kohen allowed to eat from the Bikurim? Again, there won't be any Kriya in this case. Misharo Pnei Habayis, which means that as soon as the Bikurim are brought into the Azara, and it sounds like Rias Pnei Habayis is precedes even the Hanoch Al Gabi Mizbeach. So notice here that we have a double stira. There is a double contradiction in Rabbi Yochanan himself. Kasha Kriya Kriya. First of all, Rabbi Yochanan went on record saying that Kriya ain't a makevis, but here he says that the Kohen is only allowed to eat the Bikurim after Kriya. That's one stira. And number two, Kasha Anocha Anocha, because Rabbi Yochanan told Rabbi Asi that if the Bikurim are ain't a ru'uyim l'kriya, then you don't require Hanoch, it's enough to have Rias Pnei Habayis. Whereas Rav Asi said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Hanoch Makevis. So the Gemara answers, Kriya, Kriya Lokasha. And this answer is very dachuk, because what the Gemara is going to say is that Rabbi Yochanan made two statements, going each one reflecting a different school of thought, a different opinion in the Tanoim. Kriya Kriya Lokasha Harabi Shimon Harabonon. Remember, we had a machlokes in our Mishnah between Rav Shimon and Rabbanon about whether Kriya is Makeves. So the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that the Kohanim are enjoined from eating the Bikurim until after Kriya, that reflects the sheet of Rav Shimon. However, the statement of Rabbi Yochanan that you don't need Kriya and the Kohen can eat it before Kriya, Misharo Pnei Habayis, that would reflect the sheet of the Chachamim against Rav Shimon. Hanocha Hanocha Nami Lokasha. There's no contradiction between the two statements of Rav Yochanan regarding Hanocha. Ha Rav Yehuda the Ha Rabbanon. In other words, there's going to be another machlokas here. Even if I hold that Kriya ain't a makevis, but what is the clincher then, if not Kriya? Something earlier in the process. And here we have a machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Chacham. Chacham say you need Hanocha al Gabi Mizbech. That's the shita that we're familiar with. Rabbi Yehuda has a pretty radical shita, and he holds that you don't need Hanocha al Gabi Mizbech. We're going to soon see that he requires Tnufa, and with the moment of Tnufa, even before Hanocha, the Bikurim Amutarim Lekohen. And that's what Gemara says here. We'll finish with this. My Rabbi Yehuda, the son you will into the Braisa, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. At the end of Parshas Bikurim, the Parsha Bikurim is, of course, Kitavo, right, in Dvar Mechavav. It says, Vihinachto Lifnei Hashem Elokecha. So we have to keep in mind that pasuk v'nachto lifnei Hashem Elokecha is pasuk yud in Perek Chavav. Please make a mental note of that, otherwise we'll get all messed up in the sugya. Because there are two psukim in the parasha, we have to know one pasuk from the other. So here it says v'hinachto. V'hinachto lifnei Hashem Elokecha zo tnufa. Right, so they you remember that we said that the Kohen would hold the hands of the Bailim, and they would wave the Bikurim in four directions. That's what the word Vinachto means. And this is based on a diuk he says in the pasuk. It doesn't say Lehaniach, but it says Vinachto. And Vinachto is Miloshon Lahanchot in modern Hebrew. You familiar with that word? Lahanchot. Lahanchot is when I guide you and cause you to go in a certain direction. It's got a causative effect. And that's what Tnufa is, because what the Kohen does is he causes the Bikurim to go in four directions. That's
similar in Kavod Vodam, the Elocha, I think is based on a different word, which is similar to
Okay.
The Kabon, the Elocha, next time.
How do I know, says Rabbi Yehuda, that we're not referring to Hanocha? And the answer is that if you go back to an earlier pasuk, again, our pasuk was pasuk Yud. Let's rewind to pasuk Dalet, six pasukim earlier. There it says, Kshoma Kosuv, Kshu Omer, it says in pasuk Dalet, V'lokach HaKoyin HaTenem Yodecha V'hinicho. And then it says, Lifnei Mizbach HaShem Elokecha. And that pasuk V'hinicho, right, as opposed to that first pasuk, which is really the second pasuk chronologically of Hinachto, is Hare Hanacha Amur. That means placing it on the Mizbeach. So what's the later pasuk V'hinachto referring to? Ma ani mekayim V'hinachto zo tnufa. So there's something called V'hinicho, and that's placing it on the Mizbeach, and there's something called V'hinachto, which is referring to Tnufa. So at the end of the day, since Rabbi Yehuda, in the second Pasuk, like the later Pasuk V'nachto, derives Tnufa, so there's only one mitzvah in the Torah of Hanach al Gabi Mizbeach, and that's this Pasuk of V'hinicho, Pasuk Dalet. Had the Torah repeated itself in Pasuk Yud, in Pasuk Yud, and told me that he has to put the Bikurim on the Mizbeach, we have a principle that whenever the Torah repeats itself in Kachim, it's always Likuva. Right? But according to Rabbi Yehuda, now that the first Pasuk is referring to not Hanocha, I'm sorry, the first Pasuk is referring to Hanocha Mizbeach, but the second Pasuk is not a repeat performance of Hanocha Mizbeach, but rather it's referring to Tnufa. Therefore, it's not Likuva, and Hanoch is not Likuva.
Neither of them are Likuva, Tnuf is also not Likuva. If there's any more possible.
That's a good question. So that's going to be the next Gemara that we'll try to fill in the next time we get together. Again, keep in mind that next week at this time, it's not after Tzeis, is it? I can say Lag BaOmer, just joke. Yeah, without a bracha. So that's going to, and then I'm going to be in America for the week after. So we'll get together in 3 weeks' time, and hopefully we're already deep into Yud Ches. We'll make it.
I'll be away in 3 weeks' time.
Well, you'll be away, okay.
Maybe get somebody else to join me. Otherwise, you got to have
it's cool. Okay, is there Myriv now?